Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us for this edition, this Tuesday edition. The phone lines are open, and we'll welcome your calls right now at 844-322-2742 for Bible questions or personal issues, maybe circumstances, whatever the situation. Give us a call at 844-322-2742, and that's good, of course, in the U.S. and Canada. One more time, 844-322-2742. But call now, friends, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's a great passage out of the book of Colossians. It has to do with our completeness in Christ. You know, when we're kind of on a search, on a quest, trying to find truth, trying to find answers, what drives us is this sense of being incomplete. There's something missing inside of us. And when we come to Christ Jesus, then that incompleteness goes away. Why? Because we're made complete in him. And that's exactly what Paul tells us in the book of Colossians. He says, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." So Jesus is the guy. He's the one. So all of the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. And then he goes on to say this, "And you have been filled or made complete in him who is the head of all rule and authority." And the rest of this passage explains how we've been made complete in Jesus. We've been circumcised by the Lord, a spiritual circumcision. We've been given a new heart. We've been buried with him in baptism. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life through this powerful working of God. So he's made us complete. He took the thing that stood opposed to us and against it. He nailed it to the cross. He dealt with it once and for all. That means he's taken away our sins. That means he has forgiven all of our sins. It means that we've been made alive together with Christ, that we've gone from death to life. And it also means that Christ has come to live inside of us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we're complete. So our search is now over. Now, religion kind of keeps that alive, that search alive. We need to search for more. We're not quite there. We haven't quite arrived. We need to keep pushing forward and find that completeness. We need to find it in service. We need to find it in church membership. We need to find it somewhere out there in religious land. But Paul is very clear. He's very adamant about this truth. In him, you have been made complete. There's nothing more that needs to be added to you. There's nothing more that needs to be done. You simply grow in that completeness. You simply grow in your understanding of what it means to be complete in Christ Jesus. It's like when a baby's born, you're not going to add to the parts that the baby comes out with. Yeah. I mean, it has 10 fingers, 10 toes, a nose, and 2 eyes, and 2 ears, and all of those things. It is a full human being. It is complete. That's how God designed it. That's how it works. So when we come to Christ, when we're born again into the family of God, that new birth, as we come through that new birth, we are complete in every aspect of our humanity. Our spirits have been made alive together with Christ. Our souls are being renewed. These minds of ours are lining up with what God has done for us in Christ. And we know one day our bodies are going to be resurrection bodies. Yeah. So that is the completeness of our salvation. So let me ask you a question. Do you know that you're complete in Jesus Christ? Do you know that in him you have been made complete once and for all, and that there's nothing more that needs to be added to you? If so, boy, you can rejoice. If you're still struggling with that, if you're still looking for something, then call us right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to talk you through that so that you know that you are complete in Christ once and for all.
Once and for all. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition. Bob, of course, just gave the phone number, 844-322-2742. We'd love for you to come in and be a part of this edition right now, 844-322-2742. A $90,000 matching grant offer. Friends, do you realize what we have in front of us today? Bob mentioned it yesterday, and we talked about it. If we can match this huge offer, we'll have the opportunity to see the grace message move well beyond its current reach and get the saving life of Jesus Christ in new and receptive ears. That, my friends, is a very exciting prospect. We want you to be a part of it. So now it's up to the rest of us to make that happen. Let's turn that $90,000 into $180,000 to reach people in the name of Jesus. It's the message that can and is making an eternal difference in the lives of people. Let's make that happen, my friends. It's not often we get an opportunity like this. So please, visit basicgospel.net and make your largest possible donation to help match that $90,000 dollar for dollar, the matching grant offer. And when you make your gift at basicgospel.net, be sure to download your MP3 audio series from the United Conference. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift of support for the grace message through Basic Gospel. Donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Once again, that phone number, friends, 844-322-2742. Give us a call now. We'd love to hear from you. And, Bob, we had this question that came in overnight from Curtis. He says, I've heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls, but until now I had not heard of the lost books of the Bible. I'm sharing the gospel with an individual who asked if I had heard of them. Is this just another gospel that really doesn't have any meaning? He goes on to say, I'm truly going to miss both of you, Bob, as well as the Basic Gospel Ministry. You've been a blessing to so many, and sincerely thank you all. So we resemble that.
Yeah, that's right. We certainly appreciate Curtis. And, Basic Gospel, we're just merging and becoming the Grace Message. So we're uniting two ministries. And here's the good news. I mean, when you're tuning in to Basic Gospel, you're tuning in for encouragement. You're tuning in to hear truth, to hear the truth about God's love and grace. You're tuning in because you need comforted. You need some wisdom to help you through a circumstance in life. Well, that's going to continue. Yeah, so you absolutely can continue to tune in day in and day out to the Grace Message, and that's what we're becoming as the calendar rolls over. You'll be able to tune in every day and get that same encouragement. And what we're going to see happen, and here's the good news, and that's why this $90,000 matching gift is so vitally important that we match, is in this new year, I think we're going to see the grace of God, that message, go out into the world like never before. Yeah. We have many new platforms, and Andrew is going to be sharing some in the next couple of weeks of what those platforms are that we're going to be taking advantage of to get this message out like never before. So, Curtis, we appreciate your sentiments, and we appreciate your kind words there and the encouragement, and you've certainly allowed us to be a part of your life, and we've known you for so many years, and it's been a blessing to us as well. But I want you to know this message will continue through radio, through internet partnerships, through a digital church, through other websites that are going to be produced on Bible questions.
In other words, it's going to multiply.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Like never before.
Like never before.
That's exactly right. But well, as far as his question, which is really a good question. So whenever skeptics, start to raise their voices about Christianity, they're always going to show their skepticism toward Jesus. Did he really exist? There are many voices out there that say he didn't even exist. He wasn't even a historical figure. That was just something you Christians have made up. Well, they haven't examined the evidence. They haven't looked at what real historians have actually said about Jesus. And these aren't just Christian historians. These are just simply historians that come from all different religious backgrounds, and some no background in religion at all. Yeah. But the evidence is just overwhelming. Jesus did exist. The second thing that they will point to and jeer at and say, hey, that Bible can't be the Word of God, is the Bible. And one of the things that they will bring up is the fact that the 66 books that make up the Bible, the 39 in the Old and the 27 in the New, Those were just chosen by man. We handpicked them, and there was a group way back in 300 AD, somewhere around there, and they looked at some of these, what is now called the lost books, and there's a list of them, like the Epistle of Thomas, and I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. The Epistle of Barnabas, Peter had another one, the Lost Gospel of Peter. He said all of these books, why weren't they included? Well, this group just decided that they didn't like those. Well, the reason that those aren't included is because they didn't support the overall message that these 66 books in the Bible do, and that is God's testimony concerning his son, God's testimony concerning Jesus Christ. So some of these books have come into vogue, and people are talking about them today, and they're talking about them really to cast doubt on the veracity and validity of the Word of God. But if you take a little time and read through some of it, you will realize very quickly those books need to continue to be lost far as the text and the message is concerned.
As an extension of that question, this is from Bill. He says, I have read references which assert that most of the New Testament could not have been written by its reputed authors because they were illiterate fishermen, with the exception of Matthew, Luke, and Paul. This is quite discouraging. Are you able to help me out on this?
Well, they weren't illiterate fishermen. They were fishermen, but they would have grown up, and they would have studied the scriptures in the local synagogues, and they would have had an understanding of Judaism, and they certainly would have learned some things. And let me tell you, I've met a lot of fishermen in my life, and they're some pretty wise people right there.
I'll say. Well, not only that, the Holy Spirit probably had a lot to do with it.
Absolutely, and that's where we're going there. That these fishermen, these tax collectors, these people that Jesus picked, they all encountered the Lord Jesus. They got to know him, and they became eyewitnesses, and that's the key. They became eyewitnesses to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when they write their stories, they write them as eyewitness accounts. That's why they don't all kind of jive on every single point. Why? Because they're telling the story from their perspective, what they saw and what the Holy Spirit brought to their memory. And they tell it from different perspectives. So Matthew is telling it from the perspective of, let me introduce you to the king. Yeah. Israel, let me introduce you to your king. Mark, the servant. Luke, the universal one as far as Jesus was concerned. And John, being the Word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us, and proving that he truly is the Son of God, so that in believing that to be true, we may have life in his name. So there's different facets of Jesus's life, his character, his personhood, that are being told by those apostles. And they were telling it in that way because God's Spirit moved them to tell it in those particular way. So they were eyewitnesses. They saw with their own eyes the death of Jesus. They saw him be buried, taken off that cross, and handed over to Joseph of Arimathea, laid his body in a tomb, and they saw him after he was raised from the dead. And so they tell their stories from an eyewitness account. But as Jesus was preparing them for what was up ahead, he said, it's good for you that I'm going away, because when I do, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to you, my comforter, the counselor, and he will guide you into all truth, and he will bring back to your remembrance all that Jesus has said. Right. So they were writing down the words that Jesus spoke to them. Yeah. So that's why we can be sure that these words truly are the Word of God.
We appreciate hearing from you, Curtis, if you're listening. Thanks, your brotherhood and fellowship with us for all these years has been very, very special, and so we loved hearing from you.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Dallas and talk to Kevin listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Bob. So my question is that, you know, in Matthew and maybe some of the other Gospels, Jesus says that take up my yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so when I apply that to myself, and as far as setting expectations about things and how they're proceeding in my my growth and walk with Christ, I wonder how that is seems to just not be real true with regard to the pursuit of you know, getting rid of some of the old sinful thoughts or perspectives that I have, specifically just two that come. Maybe a representative are things like that I have over the years made good things that God gave me that are good. I've made them into gods, and then when they go away, or that I think about that a lot. And in the same vein, the thought that, you know, if I delight myself in the Lord and I look to Him to give me the desires of my heart to replace the ones that I have that probably are too worldly, it's just hard to do, and it's not easy, and it's not a burden that's light in my life, you know, and I just kind of wonder if you have any thoughts about that.
Well, yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about that, and, you know, at the end of the conversation, I'll put you on hold, and I want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and I talk about my own personal struggles and my own personal frustrations in that book, and some of the things that really turned the light on for me as far as realizing this Christian life really is easy, and the burden is light. And what I hear in your conversation, Kevin, or in some of your statements, is that you're trying to kind of mold yourself and reach make yourself reach up to a standard. You know, here's what a real Christian looks like. You know, they don't have sinful thoughts. They don't have any fleshly desires. And when you have a sinful thought, or when you see a fleshly desire, pop up in your life, you're thinking, well, I'm just not meeting the standards. I just don't know. So you're struggling through human effort to make yourself something, to cleanse, to get rid of that flesh, to make that mind of yours think nothing but heavenly, godly thoughts, and you fail almost every single day. And that becomes a heavy, heavy burden. And when that burden gets lifted is when you realize that God has already made you holy. God has already perfected you in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 10:14, a powerful, powerful verse. It says, by that one sacrifice He is perfected forever those who are the holy ones. So you've already reached the goal. God enabled that. God made that happen. So you no longer have to try to reach it by yourself. You don't have to try to reach it through human effort. You've already gotten the gold medal, so to speak. It's already been wrapped, put around your neck, and God says just wear it proudly, and be thankful that His work was sufficient to deliver you to that point. Does that make sense to you?
It does. It does make sense, and I appreciate that. I think that the thing that still nags at me, even knowing and believing exactly what you've just said, having listened to you guys and quite a bit, is that those new desires in my heart would eventually lead me to stop some of these thoughts and habits that I return to and would love to just begin to not waste my time on and instead.
Well, here's the deal. You don't have to waste your time on it. And that's the problem, and that's the burden. So a thought comes racing through your mind, and here's what's happened to me, Kevin, in my life. I'll be reading the Bible or in a time of prayer, and the worst thought I've ever had races through my mind, and you think, where did that come from? How did that happen? And then if you step back and say, something must be wrong with me, because here I was reading the Bible, here I was reading truth, here I was reading about the love of Christ for me, and this terrible thought goes racing through, something must be wrong with me, therefore I need to try to fix it. I need to pay attention to that sinful thought. I need to give that sinful thought some time. I need to figure out a strategy to get rid of that sinful thought. Well, now our enemy had me exactly where he wanted me, focusing on a sinful thought instead of focusing on Jesus. So when we try to focus on that sinful thought, figure out strategies on how to get rid of them, how to clean up this thinking of ours, we're starting to go down a wrong path, because the more we think, the more time we give to a thought, the more we're going to think that thought, and the more it's going to plague us, the more it's going to burden us. Well, here's what the Word of God has to say, that you are dead to sin, so you don't have to pay attention to it. You don't have to try to figure out how to get rid of it. You don't have to figure out how to mitigate those fleshly desires, do something to put restraints on it. You don't have to figure that out. Why? Because the things that you would try to do are all going to be based on worldly or elemental things of this world, and you're going to find out they do not work. They do nothing in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So we got to come to a point and say, wait a minute, I'm already dead to sin. I have died to the elemental spirits of this world, and I have been raised with Christ. So what God wants us to focus on is the fact that we've been raised with Christ Jesus. And when we do, that's when the Christian life becomes easy. That's when those burdens get lifted. So, Kevin, recognize what Paul says in Romans 6 and then in Colossians, the last part of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. You are dead to sin. If it comes knocking at your door, you say, hey, go away. I'm dead to you. I'm alive to Jesus. Let me put you on hold. We're almost out of time, and we'll get that book to you. Okay, Kevin? Yeah. Thanks for your call. Thanks. Hope that helped.
Yes,
thanks, Kevin. Great to hear from you, my friend. Friends, keep in mind we have a $90,000 matching grant offer, meaning there's a potential of $180,000 available to share the life-changing message of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. No matter the size of your gift, every gift counts, and we need everybody to step up and do something to help us take advantage of this offer, this huge grant. Please make your gift as soon as possible at basicgospel.net. Again, that's our regular website, basicgospel.net. If you have questions about a Bible passage, about the Christian life, or need input for an issue you may be facing, leave a voicemail for us. You can do that at 844-322-2742. That number is available for you, our Basic Gospel listeners, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. You can also send your question by email to bob@basicgospel.net, and we'll be sure to discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Again, email to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, thanks to each one of you who took part in today's broadcast, for Curtis and for Bill and Kevin, and everyone who gives us a call and trusts the answer and trusts the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the answer and the solution. Well, now for Bob Christopher and everyone here at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow as Andrew Farley will join us. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.